This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
And now, youngsters, this is Swinging the Alphabet. It's singing the consonants against the vowels A, E, I, O, U. The consonant we start with is B.
B, A, Bay, B, E, B. B, I, Bicky, Bye, B, O, Bo, Bicky, Bye, Bo, B, U, Boo, Bicky, Bye, Bo, Boo. C, A, Say, C, E, C. C, I, Sicky, Sigh, C, O, So, Sicky, Sigh, So. C, U, Sue, Sicky, Sigh, So, Boo. D-A-Day, D-E-D, D-I-Dicky-Dye, D-O-Do, Dicky-Dye-Do, D-U-Do, Dicky-Dye-Do-Do. F-A-Fay, F-E-Fee, F-I-Ficky-Fi, F-O-Fo, Ficky-Fi-Fo, F-U-Fo, Ficky-Fi-Fo-Fo. H-A-Hay, H-E-He, H-I-Hicky-Hi, H-O-Ho, Hicky-Hi-Ho, H-U-Hoo, Hicky-Hi-Ho.
And welcome back to PMP Network. Right now with us is Michael Fleming. He's written a book called The Three Stooges, An Illustrated History, official and authorized, and is from Doubleday Books. A great book if you're a Stooge fan like I am. And woo, 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 you'll love this. It's certainly one of the best books you'll read. And he joins us right now live. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
I understand that Mel Gibson actually bought rights to this book.
Yeah, he wrote the intro for the book, and he was incredibly helpful. In a section of the book about important people in Hollywood who were influenced by the Stooges, and that kind of led to him making the Three Stooges movie his first TV production.
Hmm. Wow. Now, who did he get any big name players to play the Stooges or unknowns?
Well, the biggest name that you'd probably recognize and the most important role in the movie is Curly, and that's going to be played by Michael Chiklis, you know, who starred in that series The Commish.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He played John Belushi in the movie Wired.
Yeah.
And then the other guys are lesser knowns, but they fit the type of the Stooges, and I think in some ways it's probably better because they're you know, if you get big names, it might be harder to accept them as the actual Stooges.
Mm.
But the script is terrific, and I think it's going to be a good film.
I think the whole book is very interesting. I didn't know a lot of things about the Stooges. One of the great things is that right in the beginning of the book, the picture of her, the parents of Moe, Curly, and Shemp. And boy, does Shemp look just like his dad or what?
Oh,
he got that ugly mug his father had.
Yeah, they all had those, you know, they had those wonderfully homely mugs that lent themselves to comedy, certainly.
But I would think that looking at this picture, I mean, Shemp looks just like his dad.
I see a little bit of Curly in that father's face. So if you, an amalgam of the two of the mother, he's got kind of a round face like his mother, and Shemp definitely looks like his dad.
It's amazing. Now, and one of the great things in the story is early on in their career, Jenny, the mother, going to see them with Healy and watching them get slapped around and getting all really upset about it because she didn't understand what was going on.
Well, she was an immigrant. She didn't understand, so she actually thought that her baby was getting brained by the evil Ted.
Well, the evil Ted was kind of evil in some ways, but also great. He really was the man who put them together and taught them what they knew.
Yeah. Well, his son says that, you know, I mean, you know, Ted Healy's remembered mainly for slapping them around a little too hard and not sharing enough money with them. But in fact, he was also really the first guy who discovered that you could make great comedy by playing off of other people and doing comedy at their expense. and finding that people would laugh at those things. So he was really the creator of the Three Stooges, and he was a brilliant vaudevillian in his own right. Unfortunately, he had a taste for the bottle, and he was not a pleasant drunk. And ultimately, after the Stooges parted company with him, he actually, to celebrate the birth of his first and only son, got beaten up pretty good in a couple of bar fights, and later that night actually died of, they claimed natural causes, but he'd been handed a couple of pretty bad beatings.
Mm. And the interesting thing is that Healy actually wanted to leave the Stooges himself and go on his own and become like the new Jimmy Durante at MGM.
Well, they had a pretty twisted history together. I mean, at first the Stooges were planning to leave them. They were going to go off to make a deal. They were going to go off to become movie stars at Fox, and Healy put a stop to that contract. Then later on, after they had a big feud, they got back together, and they were at MGM, and Healy was convinced that, you know, because Jimmy Durante had just left the studio, Healy was convinced that he was going to be that next guy, so he let the Stooges go, and he made a movie with the Ritz brothers, and they became famous. He had to go back to vaudeville, and the Stooges by that time were well ensconced at Columbia, where they began making all those two real shorts.
Mm. You know, one of the interesting things about this is that all the Stooges, I think, were family people. I had the honor and privilege of speaking with Joan, mm-hmm. Moe's daughter,
yes.
who wrote a book about him a while back, and she seems like a quite normal young lady.
Well, Joan is just, I mean, to me, she's just a princess. I mean, she knows more about the Stooges than any person on the planet, and she was gracious enough to share a lot of knowledge and wisdom and things with me, I don't think the book would have been nearly the same. But yes, I mean, she grew up, Mo was very much a family guy. Mo's biggest hobby was rug hooking, believe it or not. You know, people in Hollywood have this reputation of living the wild life, and Mo was anything but. Mo was happiest in the yard having barbecues for his family, and he tried as hard as he could to shield his children, you know, from all the craziness of show business. Now, Curly, on the other hand, he loved the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
And it wore him down, and ultimately he had the slappings he took. You know, he had a stroke, which pretty much ended his career. And Shemp was a little bit more of a family guy too, and as was Larry.
But now Jeffrey, what happened to him? The other child of Moe's.
Well, Jeffrey was the other child of Moe was actually named Paul. That was a mistake that the editors unfortunately made in my book. Jeffrey actually was the grandson. That's Joan's son.
Uh-huh.
The other son is Paul, and Paul's an interesting guy. He still, I believe, works for an ad agency in New York, and he told me a funny story once where they were going through hard times after Curly got sick. Mo was thinking he was going to have to put the house up for sale, and so the boy desperately didn't want to move, and so one of the people who came to see the house was Doris Day, and he scared her away by actually throwing firecrackers out the window. he always wondered if she would remember him, but I'm sure it's not a fond memory for her. They ended up keeping the house, though. Mo was a bit of a, almost a little bit like his on-screen persona. He was the guy who worried over everything. He did all the members of the Three Stooges' income taxes. He took care of all the business. He was the glue that held the group together.
Mm. One of the things you talked about in the book, actually, talking about having to sell things, was Larry's dealing and mentioning that he missed a lot of meals when they had broke off from Healy for a while there. They were starving. And he had a daughter named Phyllis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's what's going on with her?
Well, she passed away years ago. He also had a son named John who died tragically in a car accident in the 60s, in one of those I forget the name of the car, the one that Ralph Nader,
the Corvair?
Speed. Yeah. In one of those cars, but Larry was they had some rough times because, you know, I remember the Depression was on. And when Healy, when they first parted ways with him, he did his darndest to keep them from finding both movie work and finding stage work, and it was definitely a problem for them. Ultimately, they were driven to go back with him for a short period of time, but then when they went back out to Hollywood, there was a situation. I believe there was an earthquake or something. The banks were closed. Nobody was paying cash, and they were invited to do a show that was attended by most of the studio heads. They did a show, they absolutely killed, and then they had every studio making offers for them, and they chose Columbia.
Hmm. There's some great photos in this book, too. Where'd you get all the photos from?
Well, you know, I sort of made it an alliance with Comedy 3, which is the organization that sort of, you know, shepherds the Three Stooges now. And they just had just a treasure trove of documents and contracts and photographs. And that was also, I think, you know, makes the book stand out a little bit. I mean, there's some documentation in there that I got, like, for instance, the time after Curly had his stroke. Now, you know, Curly was the Three Stooges in those early years. I mean, he was the standout star. I think he was one of the greatest physical comics this country ever produced. So when he had his stroke, they didn't know what was going to happen with the Stooges. They felt that Shemp looked much too much like Mo, and they hoped that Shemp would be a temporary replacement. But they got to the point where basically it was clear that Curly was not going to recover, and so there was a document that's just heartbreaking to read where Mo basically said, you know, the good news is that we're going to all send you money to help with your medical costs, but at the same time we need you to sign over any rights that you had in the Three Stooges. And it must have just been very heartbreaking for Curly to have to realize that his career was over.
He got married quite a few times as well.
He did, and actually he finally found happiness with one of the women who nursed him after his stroke, and so I think he actually died probably happier than he had been in all those years. I think he's not unlike some of these great comics like Chris Farley or John Belushi, who are great talents but are unhappy in their own skins, and so they kind of, you know, seek excess to overcome that.
Mm. And you mentioned that Shemp did return to the Stooges after that.
Yeah, well, Shemp was the original third Stooge, and I think at that point he was grateful to come back. He did some things. He appeared in that famous W.C. Fields movie, The Bank Dick, and he did this, that, and the other thing. But I don't think he was making a lot of money, and so they brought him back in. Since he had worked with them so long, the slapstick was seamless, and it became very clear that Shemp was going to carve out his own character, and he basically kept the Stooges alive for about 8 years.
If I remember correctly, now this might be a strange memory of mine, but wasn't there after he had a stroke, wasn't there a Three Stooges short where you could see him in the background, like on a train or something, just sitting there?
Yeah, it was called "Hold That Lion," and what happened was, you know, they were looking for a guy who had swindled them, and as they were walking through this car, there was Curly with a full head of hair, sleeping. They pulled the hat off him and they said, no, that's not him. But it was clear there was recognition. And Mo said that they did that to try and buoy Curly's spirits, because at that time they were still hoping he would be able to return. But my understanding was that his speech was slurred, and actually he dragged his leg. And he was such a, you know, he was such a physical comedy dynamo that it was, you know, it just wasn't going to work.
It's hard to believe, actually, that he was the younger brother.
Well, you know, if you look at the three of them, he does look like the baby, I think.
Okay. He never had the hair, you know. It's interesting, in the book you describe him as having a full head of wavy hair and a waxed mustache. And is there a picture of him like that in here? I didn't see it.
There might be.
I didn't notice one.
I'm not sure. I know I saw them as we were, you know, as we were making the choices of which photos to select. I mean, there are just thousands and thousands and thousands of photos of of the guys. I thought we had one of Curly, mm-hmm. but it's possible that we didn't select it for one reason or the other.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm looking at also some of the pictures in here about some of the individual episodes, and Emil Sitka sticks out. I always loved his "Hold Hands, You Lovebirds."
Oh, so did I.
He just pass away the last few years?
Yeah, he did. You know, that my one great regret about this book was, you know, it took a long time for the book deal to come together, and at one point it was together, and I was supposed to meet with Emil, and it just didn't work out. Then the deal fell apart. By the time it had come back together, he was my first call, and unfortunately, I reached his son, who told me that he had lapsed into a coma from which he never recovered.
Mm.
He was just a terrific. I think he was the best of all those bit players, and that "Hold Hands, You Lovebirds" was such an influence on Quentin Tarantino that he made sure that he put it in his movie Pulp Fiction. It actually, you can hear it actually right before they plunge that adrenaline needle into the breastbone of Uma Thurman in that, you know, drug overdosing scene. Quentin told me he was a big fan of Emil Sitka's and the Stooges.
Mm, another famous player that I always loved was Christine McIntyre.
Yeah, she was dynamite. She had a gorgeous, gorgeous voice.
Beautiful girl.
Yes, absolutely. And she was in, you know, she was in more than her share of Stooge shorts as well.
I think that she was the one with that famous line, "That last mint was it." I think that they ate one of her diamonds.
Oh, right. That was the one with the. I think that was Shemp. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was Champ, yeah.
And that was the one where they were going to cut it out of his stomach and
right.
The gorilla comes
to his aid.
He said,
cut it out, and they said, that's exactly what we're going to do. You know, it's amazing how these get, they get squished into your mind. And I can recall lines from every single Three Stooges episode, pretty much. And most people I know can. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the male-female thing. It seems like Three Stooges are a man thing. Women, a lot of women you talk to don't like the Three Stooges.
Well, you know, and Mel Gibson in his intro basically said that he thinks it's almost like a gender definition. You know, when you say women, you know, they can bear children, they hate the Three Stooges. I don't know if it's quite that pronounced, but certainly I definitely think that, you know, that it is a male thing. And, you know, they've been trying for years to put together a feature film, a contemporary feature film where they'd get three new actors to play the Three Stooges. That's a project that's been basically, attempting to come together at Columbia. Columbia is now run by a woman. My understanding is that, as long as that's the case, I don't think you're going to see this movie. And at one point, you know, the Farrelly brothers offered to do it basically for no money up front. And just the gross deal, and Columbia didn't go for it, which I think is crazy, because I think that if there's any contemporaries who basically carry the Stooge torch, it's the Farrellys, because they do that kind of outrageous, outlandish humor that
sure.
that just makes you bust a gut if you're a guy, and it just works all the time, and it's so reminiscent of some of the things that the Stooges did.
But you know something, though, I at least in my opinion, and despite the movie coming out. You can't recreate. I mean, it's like saying, let's put the new Beatles together. It just doesn't happen. It can be funny, but the Three Stooges were just so funny that no one can put together anything as funny as them as
yeah.
the Stooges.
Well, you know, I sort of think the same thing. And certain people, you know, like the Zucker brothers and Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks actually once tried to do a Three Stooges movie, and he just felt that it was impossible to sustain the slapstick over a whole feature, and he turned that into silent film. He just basically changed it, used the pretty much the same characters, but he just made them different people and just went at it in a different way, and that was a very funny movie. I think it would be very hard, and if it's not done right, which is why I say the Farrellys should have done it, if it isn't done right, it's going to be like one of these, you know, awful movies like McHale's Navy or something like that, where they try to take a classic television series and they turn it into a bad film.
One of the emails we got here was from someone who expressed concern that the Three Stooges were a racist group based on the fact that the African-American characters in their series, one of which I can remember, turn on anything, you get it, were actually portrayed as being buffoons.
Well, you know, I would have to take issue with the notion that they're a racist group. I think that there's documentation, you know, that actually they weren't racists. You have to remember Hollywood of the time. They poked fun at certain groups, and it's unfortunate. But you see it also in the Little Rascals. I mean, I think the same charges have been leveled at the Little Rascals. Now that said, I would say that the shorts that they made at the expense of the Japanese during World War II were definitely racist. But people who were around at the time said, at the time, we had to pull our windows shut. We were afraid every night we were going to be bombed in California. It was just a different mindset. I mean, certainly those things don't fly today. I mean, there are certain things that you look at and wince, but I think you have to remember that it's a picture of the times. I mean, if you look at some of the gags they did, I mean, whenever they were watching a baby and the baby was crying, they would inevitably stick the barrel of a loaded handgun in that child's mouth. Now, at the time, it was just considered, not politically correct. I don't think there was such a thing as being politically correct. That kind of thing would never fly today. And even when you see it now, you kind of look back at it and you wince a little bit. But nowadays, I mean, if they used that, it would probably be the basis for a lawsuit of somebody who followed suit. I mean, you know, it's just a different world we live in, and I think that you have to kind of take that into account when you evaluate whether the Yuma was racist or not. I don't think it really was, but I think it was at the expense of the Japanese, but it was propaganda, war propaganda.
Well, the other propaganda they used was, of course, the anti-Hitler stuff in there.
Yeah,
they Give Me My World episodes.
They did, but you know what it was? It was just basically them being the bad guys, but it wasn't ethnic stereotyping, which the stuff done at the expense of the Japanese was definitely ethnic stereotyping, and it was, I mean, it was unfortunate. And when you look back, those shorts just don't, they didn't age well at all.
This is a great book. If you're a Stooge fan, you have to have this book. It's called The Three Stooges in Illustrated History from Doubleday, and it's by Michael Fleming. And Michael, you did a great job on this book.
Well, thank you very much.
Do you know when the movie's going to be airing on TV?
I believe it's going to be, we're looking at, I think, the end of April, and I think it'll come right after the, you know, that Regis Philbin game show. And so hopefully they'll, you know, it'll be a captive audience. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote this book, to try to give these guys a reconsideration of their place in history, and hopefully between the book and the movie, you know, the title of the book will come true, From Amalgamated Morons to American Icons.
If there's one thing you can mention about the Stooges that no one knows, what would it be?
Well, you know, when you compare them to some of the great comedy groups, they're often kind of relegated to, you know, being professional wrestlers with a laugh track. But I think the thing that people might not realize is they were a skilled physical comic group, and their timing was so precise and wonderful because of all those years they spent on the vaudeville stage, that I would say that they're probably the most gifted physical comedy troupe of all time.
That's quite a compliment. Three Stooges book. It's the Three Stooges Illustrated History from Michael Fleming. Get out and buy it, and check it out on the PMP Entertainment Superstore. We'll be selling it there. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.